I did not make the Pastor Andrew make this one, so we'll see the ghetto version of this. Oh, it's pretty good. Oh. Let's see the next page. It's pretty good. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Let's go to the page before that. That looks better. Yeah, this is better. Okay. Yeah, I pray for you guys every day. I pray for, I pray for different kinds of things, pray for, but and then, you know, in the middle, I draw a world map, and then I just travel the world on my knees in prayer and praying for all the alums all over the world. And, you know, Pastor Andrew obviously is an alum of CFCR Church, so he's in the mission field, he's here pastoring, so I stop by Jakarta and then pray for him and his family and your church. So that's how it goes, whether you like it or not. Too late, you know, in too deep, you're caught. Whether you don't want me to pray, it's too bad. I'm still going to pray for you. So that's how it goes. This afternoon, I thought, how many people is this, like 90? 100? This is as small of a crowd I can get, so I was so excited because then I can get to know you, talk to you, and pray for you, you know. Usually at our church, I can't even pray for our people, so less than 100, this is very possible. So what I'm going to do in the afternoon is, I don't know, I think Pat, Andrew, you same thing, right? You're going to pray for everybody? Well, he wasn't, yeah. I'm going to lay hands on each of you and pray for you very quickly, you know. It's not like 2 hours, no 2 hour each person thing, but just briefly touching so that God would, give you blessing for your life. Usually I pray for whole people's whole life, so I'm just trying to install pile of blessings for you so that you meet good spouse or something like that, kind of one of those things. If you don't want that, just tell me, I don't want you to pray for me then, so that you'll have terrible spouse or something like that in the future. But anyway, ugly kids, I don't know, but I'm gonna pray for your blessings for your whole life. That's what I'm praying today. At least touch, you know, the lay hands and pray for everybody. It's very possible. So yeah, last week I was in the Ethiopia. You know, I told you I was in Ethiopia. There was like 30,000 people conference. It's crazy, 30,000. It's just sea of people. You can't see the end, and everybody's like around and going crazy. Now, you can't pray for everybody in that conference, you know, 30,000 people. So I'm happy. Less than 100, perfect. Like, I can pray for each and every one. This is great. Okay. Yeah. Notice Pastor Andrew emphasized briefly. He will talk briefly on prayer. So I got the message, you know. So what I'm going to do is, this is the whole sermon, but he said briefly, so I'm going to just talk about one point of the three major points. But one point has a 7 sub-points, so it's going to be 7 points. When I say one point, everybody look happy. All right, you know. But too bad, there's 7 points. So it's basically just a practical section of this message. I'll do it so that you learn how to seek God. You learn how to pray. How can I concretely pray and seek God? So basically 7 practical suggestions on this. Okay. Now, Mark chapter 10, verses 45 to 52. I don't think it's on the screen, right? He didn't put it. Yep, that's what I expected, forgetting something. But anyway, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. If you have the Bible, we'll read it together. I used to say turn to the Bible, but now I have to turn on the Bible, right? Everybody's the digital Bible. But anyway, here we go. Mark chapter 10. Title of the message is called Bartimaeus. For even the, Mark chapter 10 verse 45, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the central message of the Gospel of Mark. That is the essence. Jesus Christ is a servant who came to serve And he says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. With that as a background, verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and he was leaving, as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, son of Timaeus. Bar means not, you know, drinking bar, but, you know, in Hebrew it means son of, son. Bar means son. So bar mitzvah. Son of bar mitzvah means son of mitzvah, law, son of the law. Now he's becoming a son of the law, adult. That's what bar mitzvah means. Bar, son of Timaeus. This guy named Timaeus, son of Timaeus. A blind man, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out, all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. He's teaching us how to pray here. He's teaching us how to seek God. Jesus stopped and said, call him. No one can stop God, but this beggar, by crying out, it says, Jesus stopped. Aren't you blessed by that? You can stop God, who is unstoppable, by just crying out. Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He's calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the day. Amen. You know, people have been arguing about the existence of God. Right? Does God exist? And a lot of people say this. If you let me see God, I'll believe in him. But many people have seen God. Many people have seen Jesus in the first century, and many people, though they saw him, many didn't believe him. Only few believed him, even though he was a historical figure. Even non-Christian historical books, his name is written. And if you research the Bible, the Bible, different than Quran or any other Bible, is incredible historicity in it. Archaeology, history. Just study and just, you know, study it on your own. Amazing historicity in the Bible. No other religious book has this. Okay? Anyway, of course it has miracles in it. Some things that you cannot prove through history or science or things like that. But definitely whatever history the Bible talks about is, you know, mostly correct. Whatever that seems to be incorrect, there's the question about that. But incredible historicity of the Bible. But anyway, the Bible says you can see God through the Bible. Okay, and we'll talk about this. Think about this. Imagine a family of mice who lived all their lives in a large piano. Mice in piano. All their life. So they don't know outside of the world. To them, in their piano world, came the music of the instrument. In the piano, music. Filling the dark spaces with sound and harmony. At first, the mice were impressed by it. They drew comfort and wonder from the thought that there was someone who made the music. Someone. There must be that divine someone. Divine piano player. Though invisible to them, above, yet close to them. They love to think the great player who they could not see. Then one day, daring mouse climbed to the part of the piano and returned very thoughtful. He had found out how the music was made. Wires were the secret, tightly stretched wires of graduated length, which trembled and vibrated. They must revise all their old belief. None but the most conservative could any longer believe in the unseen player. Later, another explorer carried the explanation even further. Hammers were now the secret. Numbers of hammers dancing and leaping on the wires. This was more complicated theory, but all went to show that they lived in a purely mechanical and mathematical world. the unseen player came to be thought of as a myth. But pianists continued to play, using the hammer and the strings. Same thing, you know. Doesn't matter what people believe. If this is a reality, if God is a reality, he's the one who orchestrates everything, right? As if all these inanimate objects are moving by itself in order. People have all kinds of complicated theories about God or non-existence of God or, you know, all kinds of things. But pianist keeps playing. God orchestrates the universe incredibly in an orderly way. You know, all these laws, whether it's hammer or string, all these theories might be good and true, but they're orchestrated by God. God instituted these laws. How can something you throw and fall down? Because God instituted this law in this inanimate object. There's gravity, right? Though we can defy the gravity as we walk on water, and we will all defy the gravity when Jesus Christ returns. We'll fly to Jesus without the airplane. Argue or not, agree or not, believe or not, pianist continues to play today. Universe is in tune by the conductor of the universe. The Bible says we just can't see. That's a problem. With all the medical technology, with all the knowledge contained in all the libraries and computers in the world, cannot make this blind person see. There are two ways to see, physically, of course, but also another way to see spiritually. You cannot see, you know, it's just unbelievable how if God is alive, the greatest being, and his essence of his being is contained in every corner of the universe as his omnipresent. It's unbelievable that we cannot see something so accessible, abundant, so easily found everywhere, so approaching, so desiring to be seen, so conspicuous. God, whose glory fills the earth, that we just cannot see because we are spiritually blind. There was a Soviet, you know, first time they rocket went into the sky. Soviet space pilot, you know, it was famous in the, I don't know, was it 50s or 60s? Soviet pilot went into the universe, and this is what he said. Oh, I went up there, and there was no God. So it became famous among atheists until a child wrote a letter to this pilot and said, hey, mister, when you went up into the sky, was your heart pure? The boy was referring to that verse in Matthew 5, blessed are those who are pure in heart, they shall see God. Isn't that awesome? Well, how can blind see, so incurable, it has to be a miracle. Miracle won't do it. You know, unless it's a miracle, it won't do it. We can see that lesson through this blind beggar, hopeless, dark, living in darkness. This man is able to see. His name is Bartimaeus, son of somebody. Basically means junior. He was a Timaeus junior. It could have been John, Joe, Min, Sung, Ito, Akim, Chen, Roshan, Hector, Isaiah, Bubba, you know, John Murray. It could have been Ansgar, Paco. These are the people that I met in different parts of the world. You know, it could have been anyone in the world, junior, a normal human being. Because he met Jesus, he's able to see with his heart, with his spirit. So how can we see? How can we seek him? Skipping two main the points. Let's go to the seven suggestions, practical suggestions. First of all, how can we seek his service? Seek him. First of all, see him, verse 51. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Help me to see. So pray to him, Lord, help me to see. Help me to see. Now, we can see with our physical eyes, but like history, you know, we can't see history, but we believe because of the written record. If you read the Bible as a redemptive history, salvation history, it's not just about history, but it's about how God saves his people. It has history in it. And through the Word of God, we can see we can perceive. Think about it like this, like what is seeing? You see with our eyes. See with our eyes, and then we perceive with our brain, and then we believe it affects our lives, our hearts. Sometimes we can see, sometimes we can hear. So somebody in, next to the room, next to our room, we can hear them. We can't see them, but we hear them. So we believe in our brain, and we are affected by that. So it's a lot of time it's perception with our eyes, right? So sometimes the Bible, what the Bible says is that we have the sixth sense. I know some of you seen the movie and it's negative. They're going to kind of say, oh, you know, sixth sense. But we have a spiritual sense. With our spiritual eyes, with spiritual heart, we can see him. Okay? So when the Bible opens your sixth sense, right, we can see. Sometimes what we see can be wrong. What we hear can be wrong, right? So many times we perceive the wrong way. But as long as brain perceives it, whether it's through our ears, through the Word, Holy Spirit uses the Bible. Bible is an amazing book because Holy Spirit uses these words so that our sense in our heart is awakened to be able to see him. And I pray that every one of you will see Jesus as you pray, as you read God's Word. Holy Spirit, use those things and awaken the heart, your heart. We sang this song, Awaken Me, or something like that, and hope and pray that God will do that. I believe some of you will do that. You'll be able to see him, first of all. Secondly, then, seek him in a way you know how. How can I seek him? What practical ways? Seek him in a way you know how. Okay. Is it up there? Yeah. 46. And they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho and his disciples and a crowd. Timaeus Jr., Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. So what did he do all his life? He was a beggar. So he begged all his life. So what is he doing with Jesus? He's begging for the mercy of God. So he knows how to do this because he's been doing this all his life. So simply, he just, what he knows how to do, he's using that to seek God. So, you know, he's begging. He knew how to beg. So he's begging for God's mercy. So it's not the form of the plea, but the heart of the plea. Desire that in your heart and do what you can do. Some of you, I don't know how to pray. Well, you know how to talk. I don't know how you, some of you are good writers. Some of you are thinkers, logical thinkers. And, you know, doesn't mean, oh, I don't have emotion to pray. Well, you know, don't pray with emotion then if you're a logical person. Pray, think through, think, read, and meditate. God, I believe Holy Spirit can speak to you. Some of you is more emotional, you know, not logical. There's, what were you thinking about? Nothing, you know, things like that. And you just feel everything. Some of you are like this, some of you are like that. That's okay. Some of you write, some of you pray. But I would pray, I would ask you to seek with all your heart in a way you know how. And that's what you have to do. It's not the form of the plea, but the heart of the plea. So seek him in a way you know how to do it. Thirdly, seek him with all that you can. Right? Verse 47. And when he heard that Jesus began to cry and says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Last point is about method. This point is about intensity, right? So he couldn't see. He couldn't see. But he can hear. He can talk. He can beg. That's exactly what he does in verse 47. He heard. He couldn't see, but he heard, he's using his ears, that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry. He can't see, but he can talk. He crying out, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He can't see, but he can hear. He can speak, and he knows how to beg. Have mercy on me. So, you know, don't think about what you cannot do. But with what you can do, with all your heart, he hears carefully. He speaks loudly and he's begging ceaselessly. So with all your heart, just like someone who is in an aisle and you've been there for like hundreds of days and airplane flies by, what do? You got to get their attention with that kind of intensity and heart. What will you do? Oh, see me. That's okay if you don't see me. No, you go, you do all kinds of things. Put everything on fire so that they can see you. And that's what you have to do with that intensity of your heart. Of course, as I said before, he's the one who's seeking you. So don't worry. But it's you who's running away. So fight your heart with intensity so that you'll be hungry to receive His grace. Some of you is, you know, different kinds of, some of you know how to, intellectual begging, relational begging. Some of you need to pray with other people, ask some other people to help you. Intellectual begging, relational begging, service begging, different kinds of begging, writing begging, different kinds of prayer that you can offer up to the Lord. But intensity of your heart, focus on Him. Fourth thing here is use obstacles to be challenged. There might be a lot of obstacles, things to worry about and things to think about. Maybe you don't want to be with other people. Other people are noisy, whatever. But use the obstacles to be challenged. Because, look at this. It says, verse 48, and many rebuked him. And then it says, many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried it all the more. In Greek word, you know, New Testament mostly is written in Greek. The word many and more are the same words. So I'm thinking like this. Many people, each person, one person, stop praying. And he gets feisty. He doesn't go, oh, okay, I'm so sad. Nobody wants me to pray. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. Not like that, but one person says, stop. It's bothering us. He gets feisty. Oh, yeah? Son of David, have mercy. Another person. The number of many equals more, right? Each person trying to stop him, he gets feisty using that energy of anger to prayer, right? Crying out to him more. So obstacles did not hinder him or stop him, but obstacles challenged him, motivated him to cry more. One by one rebuke, more shout out. Oh yeah, there was that holy defiance, the feisty spirituality. That's what we need to have. Life is filled with hardships. I'm going to talk about it tonight. Life is filled with hardships and difficulties. You got to learn to be feisty. Not feisty with other people, not feisty with your pastors, not feisty with other people, but feisty against circumstances and hardship that will hinder your spiritual life. Got to keep on going. Holy defiance and feisty spirituality. There are times I receive, you know, criticisms, all these things, all kinds of accusation, whatever. You know, I realize I preach the best when I receive those things because I get feisty. In fact, it's harder to preach when everything's peaceful. Okay, you know. So we got to be able to do our best in both situations. But do not get discouraged, but use that to be energized, to cry out to God and pray more. Amen? Holy defiance and feisty spirituality. Fifth, now as you're learning how to do this, you're just practicing learning how to do this every day. Verse 51, ask daily. Verse 51, Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Blind man said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. So he's learning to pray and cry out. And verse 52, Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. So he tasted this blessing, and it was not, Jesus says, go away now. but he still follows him because he wanted more. Every day, Lord, make me see every day. Lord, help me to see you. Help me to see your glory. Every day, that's what we're going to do in this afternoon is what you're going to do every day so that you can, you know, receive more vision, clear clarity of the sight. Okay? Just like the, you know, Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Talking about daily bread, but give us this day our daily grace. Every day he wants us to receive more so we can see. Number six is seek with confidence yet with humility. That's difficult, isn't it? Confidence and humility. A lot of times we teach at CFC, our church, humility. So what happens is that they become so humble. Oh, I'm nothing. I don't know how to do anything. And then in their job interview or jobs, they're like that. They ask you, they go, oh, I'm nothing, I don't know what. They never get hired, right? No, in the world, you guys know this. In the world, you got to be confident, not arrogant. Nobody likes arrogant person, but confident person. Oh, yeah. I might not know how to do it well, but I kind of know a little bit. Teach me, I believe I can do this. You got to be confident, right? Girls like confident people, right? Ladies like confident people. So This is hard thing to do, humble, really in heart, you know, but confidence. It's like, if God helps me, I can do all things in Christ. That's like humility and confidence. But it has to be God has helped me with God's strength, by God's grace. So that's hard line to find, but with confidence, with humility. Look at this. This guy is begging. He's humble. I have nothing. Jesus, give me your vision. Please help me to see. Yet he does it with confidence. Humility of begging, but in confidence that Jesus is the only one. Jesus is definitely the one who can give me the sight. So we need to learn how to do that, because Jesus always has a soft spot for beggars who need God's mercy. And more, you know, more and more, as you seek for vision, you get to fall in love with what you are about to see, Jesus. This guy sees vision, but he doesn't go away. He follows Jesus, because what he wanted was vision, but once he got the vision, he fell in love with not the vision itself, but what his vision is able to help him to see, that is Jesus. So I pray that you'll do that. Right now, you may be more comfort. You may be alleviation of problems. You may be, my heart is so, you know, frustrated. You are seeking for more happiness or satisfaction at this now. But as you continue to go to him, you fall in not with love with the gift, but the giver. That's what happens. So continues to go to him. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I put it in my Facebook post, but I thought about this yesterday. I go, as I get older, I progressively find myself becoming more thankful. Why? Although I do not, it's not because I necessarily find myself in a better place. I'm still poor, getting older, all these things. It's not because I'm in a, circumstances better, I'm in a better place. No. But I'm progressively being thankful because it's because although I'm growing to discover myself to be so little, I realize how deficient I am. Though I am growing to discover myself to be so little, I am also growing to see the great and awesome God can't stop loving me in Jesus Christ. I'm realizing his grace, mercy, even though I find myself small. As I meet him and see him, he's great and he's merciful. I realize I'm being thankful. So I pray that you will not fall in love with a gift. So often what our need for the gift is often why we go to him. You will fall in love with the giver. More and more you do that, you get deeper. You become spiritually bigger for the glory of God. Size of a person is not physical size, but size of God in that person. So have more of God. Become big for the glory of God. Number 7, always seek more. Right? 52. So why does he follow? After he sees the vision, he doesn't leave, because he wants more of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, go away. Your faith has made you well. Immediately he recovered his sight. He goes home? No. I want to see what my wife looks like? No. His sight and follows him on the way. He wanted more of Jesus. He starts by beggar. He's a beggar. He's blind. Beggar, blind, sitting, begging. He ends up with prince, child of the king. Blind, seeing, sitting, walking, following, begging, satisfied. Totally life changed because he met Christ. Because blessed are the poor in heart, they shall see God. Don't be like that astronaut, right? Pray, Lord, purify my eyes. Help me to purify my heart. Help me to have a pure heart that can see you. So that not only in the space and universe and not only here in Jakarta and everywhere you go, you can see God. Every time I go, everywhere I go, I can just close my eyes. And even if I don't need to, but I close my eyes and I see God. And I can go into prayer, you know, immediately, because God is always there. I've been to Africa. In the mountains of Africa, God was there. I've been to rivers of Myanmar, and in Myanmar, God is there. You know, lakeshore in Chicago, God is there. Cornfield of Champaign-Urbana, God is there. I've actually been to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Even there, God is there. Even with those people, God loves them. I remember, whenever I think about seeking God, I remember my high school days. My high school days, I was just like you, right? I was just like you in your high school days when you have faith. I don't know, maybe you weren't Christian when you were in high school. But when you're young, you go up and down a lot. Spiritually young, you go up and down a lot. So retreats, you get so blessed. Oh, I'll go anywhere for Christ. I'll go China. I go to Africa, China for Christ. And then you know what happens after a couple of weeks? Am I a Christian? You know, kind of like that. You know, oh, China, Christian. You know, all these things up and down. All of you are like that. I was like that. But this was the moment. This was the time when I was in China mode, right? I was so blessed. I was on fire for Jesus. So what I wanted to do was, as a high school kid, I wanted to go to church, borrow keys to the church, talk to our pastor, keys to the church, and pray all night. And because I want to see God. This was really, I literally want to see God. So, but I didn't want to go alone because you get scared when you hear noise. When you're alone, you hear noise for some reason. Something happens and then, you know, you get scared and you come home, right? So I took someone else. I took my friend. I convinced, manipulated my friend to go to pray with me. Oh, you know, it's going to be great. So I took a guy and borrowed the key from my church pastor and we went to church together. There we're sitting, we're praying, we're singing these praises and all these things. And we're praying, you know. We're so on fire. And we had one goal that night. Whole night we were praying. One goal was, I wanted to see God, right? So we're like praying with hands and we're walking around and closing eyes, walking and then bumping into walls, whatever. And then I heard this story from this Korean pastor, famous Korean pastor in Korea. He prayed while he was pulling a tree, right? He said, God's going to answer your prayer if you pray and pull the tree. You know, that desperate, that kind of desperation. So I said, okay, and do you see God? No, I didn't see God. Okay, we got to do something. And so we went outside and we pulled a tree. You know, we got the tree. We're so stupid, but, you know, but pure. But thank God I couldn't pull the tree because if we pulled the tree, we'd been flat, dead flat, right? So, okay. Let's go back in. We got it. And then we sang praise and pray. You know what happened? After, I don't know, several hours, I don't know what happened. We woke up, it was morning, and we just came home. I don't even remember all that. Did we see God? No. Neither of us saw God. But we came home. But was that useless? I don't think so. Because even though that didn't happen that day, right now, I feel like right now, even though I don't see him physically, I feel like more than what I see physically, I see you, of course, I see you guys. You're real, right? I hear it. I hear you. Laughter. You're real. But more than your presence, I'm more sure, more positive in my heart that God is here, even more than I see you. I see him. I know he's here. I know he's with me every single moment of my life. I know he's with me. I see him now. Why? Because I think those prayers contributed to my vision. Past hunger contributed to my present vision. So I pray that you'll be hungry today. Some of you will see God, but your hunger today will cause future vision. Future vision will be caused by present hunger. I pray that you'll have that. Learn to see God. Your heart will get pure. You will be able to see God, whose glory fills the earth. Let's pray.